We actually tried to get him, R2-D2, in The Godfather.
If I remember correctly, he wanted him for the Michael Corleone role.
Since I've read the book, I mean, I could just see him in those scenes when he's walking through the Sicilian countryside with the two bodyguards with their shotguns. And so kind of that image always made me persist in trying to get him the part, but they didn't see it. Bob Evans called him a runt.
But The Godfather's second unit director, a young filmmaker named George Lucas, saw exactly what he needed for his new film, Star Wars.
In the very, very first script, R2 is described as a trash can on wheels. And that's one of the reasons why I saw him. I said, this guy's perfect. You know, I hope he speaks English.
A long time ago in theaters far, far away, four nerds got swept up by one of the greatest pop culture waves in cinema history. Now, as adults with a lifetime of fandom under their belts, they get together and discuss the mythology, characters, and business of creating Star Wars. Turn up your headphones, dial back your sensibilities, and join the wretched hive of scum and villainy as we take the low road to resistance.
This is episode 45 of season 4 of Force Insensitive, a Star Wars podcast. And this week, we're going to be talking about something I guess it's actually more on topic with Star Wars than we've been in the last few weeks, but it is very left of center as it relates to Star Wars. We're going to be talking about R2-D2 Beneath the Dome, the documentary detailing R2's life prior, during, and after Star Wars fame. So we'll be talking about that. We have there is some news to discuss that we'll get to. And so I say we get set up for attack run. This is Black and Blue Leader standing by.
Millennial Falcon standing by.
Very disappointed standing by.
Why are you so disappointed?
We didn't see Under the Dome at all.
Yeah, we saw Beneath the Dome.
I thought we were going to get a good look at his 3POs.
Why are we going to see R2-D2's 3POs?
Because we were going to be under the dome.
Yeah, why would 3PO, not C-3PO, but 3PO, why would that he be under the dome?
That's a colloquialism for his ding-dong.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Are you sure? You're just not too young.
His 3PO.
Oh, yep,
no. It was a great show. We figured out what was beneath the dome. Oh, man. Yeah, so no live-action Star Wars in sight, no animated Star Wars in sight. We were talking about some of the possibilities prior to starting the show, and we were just crying. So,
yeah,
who knows? We will, I think what we're going to do next week, I think we will do a discussion show next week. And we'll figure out a format moving forward because we have no Star Wars to discuss. There's a few animated things that we haven't seen. You know what? People out there, listeners, people in listener land, I want to hear from you. And has anyone seen Young Jedi Adventures? Is that worth a watch? What else do we have here? What else haven't we seen? Oh, you know why I thought the Young Jedi Adventures were short? Because there's Young Jedi Adventures and then there's Young Jedi Adventure Shorts, which are 5-minute episodes. So that's why I thought that they were short and not actual full-length episodes. So what else do we have for... There's like a droids...
I would be interested to see how we could manage to make a 5-minute thing be a 3.5-hour podcast.
There's a lot of Lego stuff to discuss. I don't even know if that's worth.
Oof! Now you're hitting them right in the gungans.
What else? Then there's the Star Wars Vintage, which that is where you could find droids. And there was two seasons of it. Let's see. First season is 13 episodes, and the second season was just one episode, I guess. It was a 48-minute thing. I don't know why it's only one episode. But in total, there is 14 episodes of that.
That's short for a syndication era
television program. Although I do see Boba Fett in one of the episodes.
The heck?
So could be worth it. Have any of you guys seen that? The droids?
No.
From 1985?
I watched it when I was a kid. And,
I don't know if I ever saw it.
Even as a small child, I disliked it.
I see.
I saw it as a kid.
What's that, Rock?
I said I saw it as a kid.
Yeah, is it worth watching?
It's basic 80s animated Saturday morning fare. It's not deep.
So maybe that's on the docket. So if listeners out there want to hear us talk about that, you could always let us know. And then there is always waiting for us. There is the Ewok movies, Caravan of Courage, Battle for Endor. And then we have the whole Ewoks animated series. There's 13 episodes of the first season of that. And then, it looks like it got a second season, 13 episodes in that. So we got 26 episodes of Ewoks.
Jesus. So if we can just get that sponsorship from a razor blade company, then...
Sure. Well, hey, maybe Manscaped will come through and then you could use that for... Although Mars, is it possible to cut yourself on a Manscaped?
I was about to say.
Almost impossible.
All right, so maybe we don't want them as a sponsor then.
If you can commit suicide by using a Manscaped, then you could win a prize. I would try it Serpico style.
Did you say Serpico?
Yeah. No, not Serpico.
Okay. Seppuku. Yeah. That might be a big difference there, Serpico and Seppuku.
Well, what if Serpico had to commit seppuku?
That'd be interesting. I'm gonna fucking commit seppuku in just a minute here.
Sounds good to me. Not for you to do it.
Jesus.
Maybe we can do it together.
Yeah, it'll be a podcasting pact.
Oh my God, I'm out before this happens.
He'll call it the Pact Cast.
Right.
Good God.
Hey, I started a new tradition this January that maybe you guys will wanna do.
Oh boy. Did you take a shower and clean your clothes?
No, I always clean my clothes. Well, I seldom clean my clothes, but the reason for that is that I have so many clothes that I usually only have to go like twice a year to Sean's house to clean them. So.
What?
Like as of right now, I have like two full laundry bags of just socks.
But none of them match.
No, I don't bother with any of that nonsense.
So how long does it take for said humidate after said laundry is done every 6 months?
So in between doing it, one of the times Tiny got he was camping, but he got like a smart washer and dryer. And he actually had a running tally.
It's better than a dumb one.
Of how many loads of laundry I did. And it was like, I forget, but it was double digit. Over the course of a couple of days.
Look at you bragging about double digit loads there, Flaccid.
But
I'm proud of you.
Here's something I would recommend to my, I mean, for what it's worth, I have 3 6 shelf bureaus worth of just black t-shirts with white text on them. But the, this thing I've decided to do, and it's been making me feel good under the circumstances, is that I have decided I'm starting off January by only watching my favorite movies and listening to my favorite records. It's nice. It's a good comfort thing.
So you're just hitting the pleasure button for
well, a few weeks.
Where's the pleasure button, Mars? Did you find it okay?
The palm of my hand.
Jesus. This might be the worst episode ever. I didn't hear you at all. You cut out again.
Top of the fucking thing. I don't know what's going on. I apologize.
You sound okay right now.
Nope. To force itself.
Man, that Canadian fucking internet's fucking good.
Uh-huh. Sounds like Canadian T-Pain right now.
Wallywalks. All right, so back to... I think that's pretty much it. I saw Star Wars Rebel shorts, and I was like, oh, wait, we got some Rebels to watch. And then I saw that I watched them, so I think we ended up doing those on the show before. Do you guys remember? There's like four-minute short episodes.
Vaguely.
If I watched them, then they would have been for the show. So, so we already did that. So, yeah, so it's looking pretty dire. We have Young Jedi Adventures, Droids, Ewoks. We have the non-canon Ewok movies. And then... we have the other canon films. We have the prequels, we have the sequels, and then we have the Star Wars story films.
What if we just change this to a canon films podcast?
How would we do that?
We can watch Masters of the Universe.
How does that make sense? Well, Masters of the Universe is Star Wars adjacent.
Cyborg. Master of the Universe. Cyborg.
Cyborg 2.
Oh, Dirty Dancing. That's one.
Oh, yeah. I forget that was a canon film. What else?
Hello?
Yeah, what else? What else?
What?
What? What is going on here? Hello? Is it me you're looking for? Guess it's just you and me, Alberto. It's going to be the best episode ever. Oh, man. Now, yeah, okay, so there's Mars. Mars is gone. Rocky's gone. This is awesome. We're off to a great start. There's Mars. He's back. He's back again.
I feel like I'm trying to watch the Belgian pay-per-view feed.
What?
The what? The Belgian?
What was the last thing I said?
No one knows.
Yeah, you're like, huh?
Canon film something.
Oh, shit. Well, I was going to wait for Rocky to come back, if he's coming back, to talk about this fucking R2-D2 thing.
There he is.
There he is. Is Canada letting you back on the internet?
No. I got a cease and desist and kill yourself from the RCMP.
Is that Canadian Minister Prime? What's up?
The RCMP.
Oh, I thought you said CMP.
The RCMP.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Mother Puckers.
Wow.
Sometimes I feel like I don't.
Now we're having some pretty crazy storms up here now, but
I was just gonna ask that. Lost power like 3 or 4 times last night. Not for long, but
it's exciting.
The RCMP, you don't have a clue what that is.
No, why would we have a clue with that? We don't even know what's going on in this country.
I don't even know what's going on in this fucking episode.
Have you looked at me, ma'am? Have you looked at me? I don't even know where the hell I am half the time. How am I supposed to lead anybody to any fucking where? RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Oh, the Mounties.
Call them Mounties. Call, yeah, call them Mounties. Everyone knows them by.
Call them handsome and brave and strong.
Anyway, does the mic sound any better? I had to do
you sound
restart.
Better. Yeah, you sound better. So,
a lot of times when I have to update my laptop, I usually have to shut it full down after the update restarts. Otherwise, shit gets wonky. So I'm thinking that was the case.
You good?
Okay. Sorry, I missed the intro and shit.
Yeah.
All you missed is me dumping out.
No, you didn't miss anything. It was fucking terrible. That's what you missed.
I've heard you dump out on this show many times, sir, and I don't need to hear it again.
All right. Well, before we lose anyone else, let's fucking start talking about this thing. So we're going to talk about R2-D2 Beneath the Dome. It is a short from 2001. It is 20 minutes, and it's listed as a comedy, but I don't know. Like, I think they meant drama. I think they meant documentary drama, because this is kind of a sad thing. I didn't know the true story of R2-D2.
Yeah. Drug addiction's no...
Yeah, it's no laughing matter. Yeah. So it's directed by Don Bees or Byes, and Spencer Susser is written by... I don't know why they have writers since it's a documentary, but it was written by Don Bees, Mary Beth Breslin, and Kim Bromley. And it's got a bunch of talking heads. We have Bob Hess, Robbie Edwards, Elizabeth Tulloch, Jennifer Weil, Dave Murphy, Morgan Hampton Lee, Hamilton Lee, not Hampton.
That's a big guest list of fucking some.
Who else? Celebrities. Yeah, I was going to say, where are the actual celebrities? They're not listed here. Well, it has George Lucas, as you heard in the intro.
And all those other names are
Ahmed Best, Ben Burtt, Hayden Christensen, Francis Ford Coppola, Anthony Daniels, Richard Dreyfuss, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, Alec Guinness. Well, sort of. It's archive footage. I don't think they didn't dig him up and ask him what he thought about R2.
I mean, he was still relatively fresh in the grave at that point.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they made an
dig up her old bones and wheel her over
here. It had Sam Jacks, Christopher Lee, Rick McCallum, Ewan McGregor, Dennis Muir, and Natalie Portman, Steven Spielberg, and a bunch of other motherfuckers.
Did you guys catch the sweater that Samuel L. Jackson was wearing? It was a WWF New York sweater.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I went there once.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to remember. I think they did, if I recall, I think they did like a, what was it, like a, like whatever their Sunday night show was, I think it was. I think they, was it? No, because that was Saturday night.
Velocity? Or was that later?
It was later, I think.
Let me see.
Velocity was like 2005, because all the Ring of Honor guys were on it.
So it was WWF at the time.
Might have been 2002. Did anyone ever go? They definitely did like both those shows from there at different points.
Okay, so... Yeah, so they did. I don't remember which one it was, but I saw a taping there. And then, I don't even remember much about it. It was kind of a cool thing. I mean, there's a lot of memorabilia on the walls, obviously, and, you know, themed. I don't remember how the food was, but it was short lived. It was only there for, 2 years or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. Let's see.
Vinnie Mac. Outside of the primary thing he did, like, not a very good track record.
No. Oh, it was Sunday Night Heat. So it's from October 2000 to February 2002 is when they held it there.
Heat became their like perennial pregame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's called The World? I don't remember that. Oh, it was originally opened as WWF New York. That's what I knew it as. Okay, so I guess they changed it to The World. I don't know what the fuck that is. The World.
We are the children.
Oh, yeah. So I Must Have Gone, they renamed it in 2002. So I definitely saw, went there before they renamed it. The venue hosted two musical performances by the Misfits in 2001.
Oh, that's...
And apparently in April 2002, Prince performed a spontaneous after party at the club following a concert hours earlier. The show
featured... I saw that on something recently, actually.
It says the after show featured special guests Alicia Keys, Questlove, George Clinton, Larry Graham, and Dougie Fresh.
Jesus Christ.
Just for like a random impromptu fucking show at the WWF New York. That is fucking hilarious.
There's a funny print story, and there is footage out there now of he did an after party after Saturday Night Live 1 year, and I saw an interview of like Bill Hader and a lot of the writers and shit that talked about that after party with Prince. So that apparently happened a lot
when Prince was around. Huh. All right, so I don't even know how we got talking about that. But whatever. So R2-D2 beneath the dome.
Sam Jackson's wearing a
shirt. Oh, that's it. That's it. Yeah. So, all right, Alberto, you chose this. What was the thinking behind that choice?
It just popped in my head last week, and I'm like, that's why I asked you guys if you had seen it, because it's so much better if you go into it blind. I saw it on TV when it first, like, debuted or whatever. Because I think there was like a special premiere of Phantom Menace on like a Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Yep. But it was the TV version of Phantom Menace has a bunch of like deleted scenes.
Mm.
So remember, I think I still have like a tape of it somewhere, but yeah, I remember seeing commercials for that quote unquote documentary. and I know, like, I didn't know it was a mockumentary, and like, granted, I was like 10 years old at the time, but, I didn't realize that I was watching a mockumentary.
Until... Whoa. This is a mockumentary. Damn.
No,
I was really, I fucking played Sorry. Me, man.
Wrestling's real.
Thank you for confirming what I've always known.
He's validating his life, Alberto. He has a reason to go on for 20,000
more shows. I can continue living.
But yeah, I mean, it's not something I ever hear anyone mention. I feel like it's something totally forgotten.
Yeah,
but it's a fun, quick little thing. And
yeah,
I figured I'd show you guys something you've never seen before, Star Wars related.
Yeah, I don't know if I've even heard about it, so I don't like. Yeah, I don't know how that got past me. I guess I mean, maybe I wasn't watching much TV at the time, so maybe that's partially why. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting watch. I'm actually when you had like brought it up last week, and I looked into it. I was kind of like amazed that this happened, like, because George typically doesn't have like a much of a he's very sacred about the lore, right, and the canon, and I just thought that this seemed like it was just a little bit like beneath him, you know. So I was surprised to see that this was even a thing, and it got promoted so heavily as well.
Oh, he was in it too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he helped write it or something too.
Yeah. From what I know, it's just, they got the idea on set and just kind of ran with it between like on downtime when filming Attack of the Clones. But the, who's the director? Rob, I can't remember his name.
Oh, the director of this, Don Baez.
He was like essentially the R2, like he was in charge of like the R2 department.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That infamous picture of Boba Fett that I sent you guys.
Yeah.
That's him.
Oh, okay.
When they went to go film some extra scenes for the 97 special edition.
Yeah, yeah.
He, for whatever reason, was chosen to be Jeremy Bullock's stand-in.
That's funny. Jeremy Bullock was still alive then, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I just might not have been available or just not worth, you know.
Yeah, just bringing him over for, yeah.
Yeah, literally no reason.
He probably was the same size, height, and weight and stuff.
Yeah, and already there.
Yeah.
There's some fun cameos. Did you guys see, it's kind of like a blink and you'll miss it thing, but Grant Imahara from Mythbusters. He obviously worked on those movies, but you can see him in one of the scenes.
I don't know if I knew who he is. I don't know if I'd be able to pick him out, I should say. So yeah, it's fun though, and apparently it was on TV in three different episodes, and that's why it's on the Star Wars YouTube in three different episodes. Or you can also, you know, catch it all in one. I think someone took all episodes and just edited them together and made one.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's actually the one I watched.
Oh, okay. You didn't do the one that Alberto sent?
Well, the problem is I wanted to watch it on TV, and I don't have my TV synced up to be able to pull from the link he sent directly. So when I did a YouTube search on TV, it was the first one that came up.
How dare you?
Start it and then go to your recently viewed.
Oh, through my sign in on YouTube? Yeah, I was telling my wife that I should have done that, but I didn't. So,
no, the only reason I made that playlist and sent it is because there's nothing in the description or the title gives away what it is.
Yeah.
Because the other ones, it's like right in the title. It's like,
you know, yeah,
R2 mockumentary.
Yeah, on IMDb, that's what it says. It says collection of short mockumentaries detailing R2-D2's career, in finger quotes, from his English upbringing to his daring bungee jump.
I find it really disconcerting that they talked about who his dad was, but we didn't see the piece of machinery he obviously fucked at some point. So like the toaster all covered in jizz sitting on the counter in the background, Jesus. Maybe.
Go ahead, Mars.
I assume that lady was his mom.
No, yeah. I said it was his sister.
Yeah. I like where he was from, Bollocks, England.
Yeah, Bollocks, England. That was funny. I actually had to back that up because I didn't know if that's actually what they said or not. So yeah. I backed it up real quick. I was like, did you just call it Bollocks, England?
I'm actually surprised that they use that. I mean, I guess Bollocks isn't like a, you know, it's not like a swear or something, but, you know, it's a little racy for Star Wars, maybe. All right. So
that's all positional too. Cause it's like, you know, all my European friends, the fucking cunt drops like rain.
Whoa. What?
Fucking.
What? Those words together, I know what you're saying, but like those words are maybe not the choice you want.
Okay. Or maybe it is. I'm just saying that Bollocks is a little benign to folks over here.
Whereas over there, Jeremy Bollocks, England.
Jeremy Bollocks. Jim J. Bollocks Island.
So, yeah, so let's do first impressions and talk about this thing. And I guess I'll start and say, I mean, it was fun. It's a little, I feel like it almost overstayed its welcome. Like, I think the bungee jump thing was like almost too much, but I feel like they kind of wrapped it up. And if it was like 2 minutes more, I feel like it might have just overstayed its welcome. So it was fun. I mean, it's you know, it's just a mockumentary, obviously, but I liked how a lot of the, you know, the stars like Ewan McGregor and Samuel Jackson and, you know, and even Carrie Fisher and Lucas and all of them, like, they just kind of played it up and you could tell they're having fun with it, but it was like serious. It wasn't like tongue in cheek. They were legit, like trying to make it kind of a serious thing, which I think helped it. I think if there was a little bit too much like wink, wink, nod, nod, it would have been a little bit too contrived, but I feel like that kind of helped it out. And what was R2's name? Do you guys, was it Reginald?
Reginald
D, yeah, something D. I forget.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. But, you know, just talked about how he was a failed actor and just couldn't really make ends meet. And then finally ended up working with Lucas and found the right part. But, yeah.
Dillingham.
Dillingham, that's it. Yeah, Reginald Dillingham. So it's silly. It's you know, it's something I probably won't watch again, but I'm glad that I saw it because it's kind of amazing that it exists almost in the same way that it's amazing that the holiday special exists, but like in a completely different way. Like Star Wars actually embraced this, and George, you know, was obviously had no problem with it since he was promoting it and put it on the DVD and stuff like that. So it's just weird that he's okay with this, but not the holiday special, you know, because they sort of like, I know the holiday special was supposed to be legit-ish, but I feel like they kind of feel a similar sort of like kind of vibe. So, all right. Well, that's me.
At no point had any fucking old hairy gentleman wanking it in front of his family in the living room. So I'm going to have to go and say that I think this had more integrity to it. And that's
so that's what I was doing while I was watching this.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and there it is. But you don't do that, Mars. I thought you just hold hands.
Well, I mean, I was just holding hands.
Sounds like you were playing fucking genital whack-a-mole.
No. I was holding hands. Like the way that I, people of my sexual persuasion masturbate. It kind of sounds like Weird Al making hand fights. Like that's like sort of.
Wow. So what you're saying is all the times we thought you shat on your iPad, you were just cranking one out in your way.
I'm trying to do hand farts. I can't do it. Hold on.
I can do them, but they're not very loud.
I did one. It was on the opposite side of the mic, though. You couldn't hear it. Okay, hand farts. Got it. One. Anything else?
I think Francis Ford Coppola has a big fat head.
That's your takeaway. That's your first impression.
Just seeing his big dumb face ruin the whole thing for me.
What's wrong with Francis Ford Coppola?
I know.
Jesus Christ.
I don't like him.
The dude. Yeah, we can tell. Wait. Whoa. You don't like Francis Ford Coppola?
Uh-uh. His movies are too good for you?
No.
What's your favorite film from him?
I don't have one.
What?
You don't have one.
I don't like his cinematic house. Wait, did he make Wolf of Wall Street?
No.
Oh.
I don't like
that. Wow. Well, you at least got to love his jeans because that's where fucking Nick Cage came.
Highly over ballyhooed, in my opinion. Much better than Oliver Stone, but that's not
so Alberto's stuck in a fucking anger loop.
Excuse me.
Nobody on this planet thinks Oliver Stone's an auteur, so.
Excuse me, Mars. Francis Ford Coppola directed Captain EO.
Of all things.
The Michael Jackson movie?
Yes.
Space Diddlin. This poor Marsh getting sequenced for a year.
Oh, God.
He directed Apocalypse Now.
I do like Apocalypse
Now. I know. He did The Outsiders.
Yeah, man. That's
fine. Rumblefish.
Rumblefish.
I haven't seen that. Maybe ever.
Peggy Sue Got Married.
And Rumblefish is the double whammy, Mars, because Coppola directed it, but fucking, oh, God damn it, drummer from The Police.
Stuart Copeland.
Stuart Copeland did the soundtrack.
Interesting.
Bram Stoker's Dracula, 92.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Jack.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Starring Robin Williams, you don't like that? Mm-hmm. The Rainmaker, starring Kazuchika Okada.
Yep, I like that. But the movie with the lawyer movie, I hate that.
Didn't do that.
The lawyer movie? Which one?
I don't know what you're thinking of.
The Matt Damon lawyer flick, The Rainmaker.
What?
The different Rainmaker?
He's talking about the law.
Oh, it was from 90. Drama. It's from 97. Yeah, it does have Matt Damon. I've never seen it, though. Danny DeVito, Claire Danes, John Voight, Dean Stockwell, Mickey Rourke.
It's good for what it is. It's your basic town law.
Roy fucking Scheider, Randy Travis. Look at that cast.
Randy Travis. That's how you got the exclamation.
How does it end? How does it end? Is it like a lawyer? Does he give the Rainmaker to a judge or something at the end?
Yep, and they sit there for and 20 then just, minutes at the end.
And then just rains money, and he's like, Rainmaker!
No, it's those Native American rain sticks, and the last 20 minutes of the movie is an art piece for everybody in court. It's got a rain stick, and they're just listening to him.
I don't think that's accurate.
No, I don't like that either. So I like Apocalypse Now.
All right.
But I might not ever watch it again.
Well, what about Supernova from 2000? It says it's directed by Walter Hill, Francis Ford Coppola, and Jack Sholder.
Two of those guys are good.
And it stars James Spader, Robin Tunney, Angela Bassett, Robert Forster, Lou Diamond Phillips, Vanessa Marshall. That is Hera Syndulla, the voice of Hera. She's in it.
Sounds great.
He's uncredited, though. Was it an Alan Smithy film? What happened there?
Maybe he was just the producer.
No, he was the director.
He probably took his name off. But...
Yeah, it says director uncredited. He hasn't done anything in a while, though. 2016 was his last flick.
Is he alive?
Is he alive? Yeah, he's alive. I mean, He's getting up there. He's like what? He's born of 39, so he's 85. Jesus Christ! I didn't realize he was that old.
He's finally making that movie that he was been trying to make for like 30 years.
A science fiction one.
The post-apocalyptic. Megalopolis.
Megalopolis. Yeah. Interesting.
I'm interested in that.
I think Adam Driver's in it.
Oh yeah, he is. Jason Schwartzman, Aubrey Plaza, Dustin Hoffman, Shia LaBeouf, the great Lebowski, James Remar, Giancarlo Esposito, how about that? John Voight, Larry Fishburne, Forrest Whitaker, Talia Shire, D.B. Sweeney.
Got her out of retirement? Nice.
Yeah.
Balthazar
Getty?
D.B. Sweeney, isn't he the guy that jumped out of an airplane with all that money?
Oh, that's D.B. Cooper, which they're almost, they've almost cracked that case finally.
Really?
Yeah, I was reading about it the other day.
D.B. Sweeney, you know him, Mars. He was in Fire in the Sky.
Yeah.
He was like the main dude in that. That fucking movie's awesome.
By the way, Alberto, did you watch that documentary came out in 2012, maybe 2015, about the private investigator who's been trying to track down DB, and they found that dude in Florida?
No. The thing that I was reading the other day, not to go off too much on a DB Cooper tangent,
but it's a great mystery. It's one of America's greatest mysteries.
Like they've had his tie for like ever, right? And like in evidence, and apparently they found like a fragment of metal on it, and they traced it back to one of the only places in the country that was making like titanium at the time for airplanes.
Oh yeah.
So they think it's a specific employee there who's been dead for like 25 years, but because they were essentially making stuff for the plane that he hijacked, and the guy would have had to have known,
right,
like intimate details on the plane. So that's kind of what they're thinking.
Huh. That mystery has always intrigued me. So whenever I see something on DB Cooper, I tend to go, ooh.
I was reminded of about that a lot because this season of Reacher, the bad guys are throwing people out of helicopters.
To yeah.
We're watching that too.
I think somebody should make a band called DB Alice Cooper. Billy and Parachuting Doll, baby.
God.
My favorite iteration of DB Cooper was, did you guys ever see Without a Paddle? It was a comedy with Seth Green. Anyway, that was the whole premise. They were, the three guys were getting older, married, and settling down, and they've always been trying to track DB Cooper when they were kids. So they decide to go one last time to go see if they can actually find him. And they do actually find him, and it's Burt Reynolds playing this weird old fucking man. He's been living in the mountains for fucking 35 years, and he's fucked up, dude.
I once convinced my coworkers that Kid Rock was making a DB Cooper movie.
Huh?
I, like, convinced my coworkers that Kid Rock was making a DB Cooper movie.
Why?
I used to work like 12 hours a day. I had to get bored.
That just seems like such a random thing to throw out there. Did you know that Kid Rock is making a DB Cooper movie?
Yeah, that's weird. All right, who hasn't given their first impression? I can't keep up.
No, I haven't done mine yet. Just real fast. I wish it had gone harder. I wish
that's your response to everything.
Yeah, I just wanted to see fucking, like, you know, R2 with, like, fucking needles sticking out his little tubes on his arm.
Yeah, they did talk about, like, women and alcohol, but yeah, they should have gone, like, full on, like, you know, snorting.
Especially
when talking to Carrie. Snorting from his fucking eye.
Like, there's a photo of Carrie Fisher doing a bump off his little data stick.
That, all right. I want to see your version.
Right. No, honestly, this was cute. I remember once it started playing, I remember having heard about this before, pre this show, but
yeah, Alberto talked about it last week.
Yeah, pre this show. Listen to the addendum there.
Yeah, that was last week's show.
But yeah, no, it was cute. I mean, you know, like you said, it was just a neat little fun filler. Somebody was on set fucking doing something fun and creative on his own time, and George was like, hey, it'll be funny, let's put it on. So, you know, I mean, it was great seeing Carrie again. I did like Samuel L. Jackson talking around what he saw. He's like, you just get a private investigator and follow that guy. You'll see some shit.
I wonder if, I know that they're like, there was supposedly writers on this, but I would hope that they would just let the actors just sort of like, you know, ad lib.
Yeah, it seemed pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure writers were just like road mapping where they're going to go with it and just let people do their thing with the confines, right?
I mean, that's that's where, I mean, if you think of mockumentaries, you think of Christopher Guest, and like, you know, they come up with some ideas and, you know, a direction, but for the most part, a lot of times they just let the actors just sort of do their thing, and that's where the best stuff comes from, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're ahead of their time, because like Christopher Guest was doing those sorts of things, and then it became like a whole genre of television with like The Office and Parks and Rec and shit like that.
Where, yeah,
like,
having it's true.
That camera crew footage style shooting.
Yeah, definitely.
So, no, it was cute. Like I said, it was, I love the fact that it was only 26 minutes. I was able to kind of, you know,
just not even, it was 20 minutes.
Oh, the one I watched had an extra 6 minutes of some of the bits from the whole piece. Like the at fuck? The end, they tagged on some funnier.
That's fucked up, man.
That's why I'm unhappy with this. I didn't see the funny stuff.
Yeah. It was just, I, once again, it's, you know, like we talked about with Flash Gordon, it's nice to just plug into something mirthful, silly, and just fucking mindless for a little bit and, you know, feel a little joy. It was nostalgic for the 90s a bit, you know, or early 2000s. Seeing how, I want to know how Alberto felt about seeing that super young porcelain skin fucking Hayden Christensen on set there.
Almost as good as Ahmed Best.
Why do you think it took Alberto, you know, like an hour and 26 minutes to get through a 20-minute fucking short?
He had to keep pausing for cleanup.
Exactly. Clean up on aisle me.
Clean up on aisle me.
Did we really just say the same joke?
Yes, that's fucked up. I wish Pete Best was in this.
You wish what?
Pete Best was in this.
The fifth Beatle?
His job in the Beatles.
Yeah. Fifth Beatle?
Yeah. Or Joe Bessa, even better.
He's the fucking seventh stooge, I think.
Oh, God.
No, right. He'd be the sixth, shit. I think. Six. Because Curly, Shemp,
it's Curly,
Joe.
Shemp.
No, I think Joe was last, wasn't he? Joe was in the movies. Joe was the not funny one at all.
Now I want to say Joe is third.
Joe is terrible. Let's see. Let's find out. How about that?
Joe Bessa was the best.
No, Joe Bessa is not the best.
He is the best. He just slapped people and said, stop it. It was the height of comedy.
So the Columbia years from 1934 to 1946 was Mo, Larry, Curly. And then, it says Shemp's return. So, Ted Healy and his Stooges. It began in 1922 as part of a vaudeville act called Ted Healy and his Stooges. It was Mo Howard, Shemp Howard. And let's see, after several shifts and changes in the Stooges membership, violinist comedian Larry Fine also joined the group sometime between 1925 and 1928. So that's, I guess, from 1925, it was Mo, Shemp, and Larry.
No, Mo, Shemp, and Curly. And then Larry Fine joined.
I don't see Curly's name, though. It was initially...
Oh, so yeah, it was just...
Mo, Shemp, and Larry. But this is before TV. This is like as a vaudeville act.
Yeah. And that's why they... Those two. That's why they brought Shemp back when Curly Joe left. Because...
Oh, he'd already been part of the so their first... The okay, so their first feature film in 1930 was Ted Healy and his Stooges, plus comedian Fred Sanborn... appeared in Soup to Nuts, their first Hollywood feature released by Fox. Film was not a critical success, but the Stooges' performances were singled out as memorable, leading Fox to offer the trio a contract minus Healy. So it wasn't Ted Healy and his Stooges, it was just the fucking Stooges. This says, this enraged Healy, who told studio executives the Stooges were his employees, whereupon the offer was withdrawn. Howard, Fine, and Howard leaned learned of the offer and subsequent withdrawal and left Healy to form their own act, billed as Howard Fine and Howard or Three Lost Souls. The act quickly took off with a tour of the theater circuit. This is Healy attempted to stop the new act with legal action, claiming that they were using his copyrighted material. Accounts exist of Healy threatening to bomb theaters if Howard Fine and Howard ever performed there, which worried Shemp so much that he almost left the act. Reportedly, only a pay raise kept him on board. That's fucked up.
Hazard pay.
Healy tried to save his act by hiring replacement stooges, but they were inexperienced and not
stunt
as
stooge.
Stunt stooge. That describes this fucking show so much.
Well, I guess he got his wish of bombing this theater.
Yeah, he bombed him in another way. Yeah. It says they were not well received. Healy reached a new agreement with his former stooges in 1932 with Moe now acting as business manager, and they were booked in a production of Jacob J. Schubert's The Passing Show of 1932. During rehearsals, Healy received a more lucrative offer and found a loophole in his contract allowing him to leave the production. Shemp, fed up with Healy's abrasiveness, bad temper, and heavy drinking, decided to quit the act and toured in his own comedy review for several months. So, let's see here. I'm reading the whole fucking article. I guess you can go.
I was about to say, you're reading the entire IMDb.
What did that
stage
look like? Just him spinning around on the floor going,
woo!
Thank you. Good night.
That was Shemp. Shemp never did that shit. That was Curly.
No, Shemp did it. Mo Larry the Cheese.
So, yeah, just in 1934, though, it was Mo Larry and Curly. And they were contracted to Columbia Pictures for a series of two real comedy short subjects. Mo wrote in his autobiography that they each received $600 per week, equal to $13,000 today. That's crazy.
What's even weirder is when you see behind the scenes photos and stuff of the three not done up with Mo's hair and Curl and Larry fucking kind of toned down and stuff, like hanging out with hot chicks, and you're just like, wait a minute. let me combine the fact that behind the scenes of the Three Stooges, the fuckers were getting drunk, fucking everything that moves, and doing all kinds of drugs. Let me fucking press that in my brain that the Three Stooges were doing that shit.
So there was another stooge that I wasn't even aware of. So it was Mo Larry Curly, and then Mo Larry Shemp. And then Mo Larry Joe Besser.
Yep.
And then Mo Larry and Joe Derrida.
Oh yeah, Joe Derrida. I remember him.
Joe Derrida was the one in the movie.
Yes, you're right. Joe Derrida and his chips were fantastic.
He is not.
I love Derrida chips. Cool ranch. But,
you know, I think all things considered that all of the third stooges there were good in their own way.
Yeah, I mean, they all had...
Yeah, in their own way.
The thing that I liked is they all did something different. They weren't trying to replace the other.
Right. Shemp did have some things that were probably hoisted upon him. I don't know, maybe they were his things originally and Curly took them. But
he had to fill Curly's boots too hard those first couple of outings.
Yeah, but a lot of the noises and stuff like that between Curly and Shemp were very.
Yeah, Shemp was more of the facial noisemaker kind of that thing, whereas Curly was more animated with the spinning on the floor and the falling down and shit. Shemp was more reactionary to kind of shit. But Joe Besser, the third guy, to give him credit, you felt, even though Curly and Shemp were supposed to be the dumbasses kind of thing you're supposed to feel bad for, Joe, you actually felt bad for because he didn't seem like a stupid guy. He just felt like the poor motherfucker that was always getting the brunt of shit. So Joe came at it from a different angle.
He was sort of one, I mean, I was a fan, but he was sort of one dimensional even by Stooges standards because he just did that. Hey, are you looking at me? Well, stop it.
Yeah, exactly. He was more, he was like the Paul Lind.
Always managed to find a fucking Paul Lind reference.
We used to, fucking man.
My best buddy and I used to do just walk up to people and say that to them in the schoolyard and fucking slap them as hard as we could.
Say what?
Whatever. Hey, you guys throwing the old pigskin around? Yeah. Stop it. And then like run my towel.
So
the Marx Brothers thing where we put the leg, like just put our leg up on their arm.
Alberto is like, who the fuck are the Three Stooges?
Yeah, there's four of us.
Shit. The Stooges were great. The Marx Brothers were great. I'm kind of with you a little bit, Johnny, about the fucking, we were just talking about him last week. The silent comedian you like.
Buster Keaton.
Yeah. There's. I love going back and watching those old.
I made a Buster Keaton reference today, coincidentally. My special lady friend asked me how my day was, and I said that I've been home for 45 minutes, and in that 45 minutes, I've had like five Buster Keaton movies happen.
Did she not get it, you said?
No, she got it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
She's not an uncultured swine.
Nope.
Buster Keaton is definitely the highbrow fucking comedy.
I don't know.
Shit. If fucking Buster Keaton that, makes you highbrow.
I'd say both those dudes were in their time. Both those, you know, him and Chaplin.
Oh, Joe DiRita was Curly Joe.
Yep.
Okay, that's because I knew I didn't remember the name Joe DiRita, but I remembered.
He kind of looked like Curly. He was the chubby one with the full bald head, right?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be Curly's cousin or some shit.
Joe, I think Joe Besser looked like he could have been related to those other guys. Yeah. Like he had Actually, now that I think about it, he had like Larry Fine's face put on like Curly's body. He was not a handsome individual.
All right. Well,
documentary on the Stooges probably about 4 years ago. It was pretty good, but it didn't have, I don't remember having any of those details.
I believe that Joe DiRita was also in the interstitials of the Three Stooges cartoon. Mm.
Yes, you are correct.
All right, well, enough Three Stooges. I do love the Stooges. I kind of grew up on them. My dad used to watch them like all the fucking time. Me too. So,
if the Marx Brothers or the Stooges were on TV, my granddad would not let you touch the channel. And I loved it because when I was a kid, my granddad belly laughing and fucking me seeing fat dudes fall through tables and trying to cook a whole chicken in an oven or some shit like that was just hysterical to me.
Sounds like an ECW show.
All right, everyone gave their first impressions. I think there's not a ton to talk about. I mean, it's
my first and last impressions.
It's a 20 minute short, and you know, there's some fun stuff in there. What did you guys think of the bungee gag?
So dumb.
Yeah. Like, they legit dropped a fucking R2 unit, and it broke.
I got a little emotional.
Yeah. I was like, come on.
Yeah, that was a little jump the sharky. Jump the air sharky.
Jump the air sharky. This show jumped the air sharky a long time ago.
Yeah, it did. But you know
what,
dude?
They should have done like Fonzie jumping over.
Over the air sharky.
I mean, but that being said, it's cute and fun. And as a kid, you know, watching that, you know, because think about us older kids with the prospect of the holiday special before we knew what it was. You're like, ooh, there's extra Star Wars content. So for new fans, especially of the prequels, you know, it was kind of fun to have something kind of... fun for the kids who may not get all the drug and sex references as the older folks do, but
we're kids.
I did have to ask this question, though, because Johnny didn't remember it from last week because he accidentally paused on the scene that apparently Alberto had said that we were going to go for. So I'm just curious what that scene was, Alberto, because Johnny didn't remember.
They did it last week.
He said there was a scene within the documentary that it was going to make us go, And I'm wondering which one that was. You said it was a specific point on there to watch for.
I don't remember. Because Rocky had asked me about that earlier, and I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't remember that. Maybe it was the bungee?
Things that make you go,
I literally don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay. I the whole time I'm watching it, I was waiting for something really odd to show up that I never really saw, so I didn't know what it was. Anyway, whatever. It was, I was expecting it to go harder, like fucking see, like I said, heroin needles hanging out his leg or fucking
Jesus.
Face down and some prostitute in an alley.
Whoa.
He was sleeping under paper and in boxes in one scene.
So that was kind of hard. Yeah, that's true.
I love how he's the stunt trash can in Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's good.
And you know what the sad part is when I saw that, I remember that episode of Starsky and Hutch. I used to watch that show a lot when I was a kid. Again, it was one of those things my dad watched, but I do remember seeing that.
Yeah, Ben Stiller's great.
I did like that version of it too. I ain't gonna lie. I have a soft spot for that stupid ass Wilson fucking Stiller. Do it.
For me, what really made it was just like having all of the non-Star Wars people in it.
Right.
Yeah, like Coppola and Spielberg, and yeah.
And you know who did the best job? The chick who was supposedly his actual girlfriend. Like, she was really kind of selling it.
Yeah.
She
was like, I did think that was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. She was the one that was selling it the hardest out of everybody.
Sure. What's her name?
Oh, the other actress that liked his eye.
No, his girlfriend that you.
Yeah.
Her. Yeah.
I'll look it up. Bitsy.
Yeah, she's in a ton of shit.
Yeah, Elizabeth Tulloch is her name. Yeah. She was Lois Lane in Superman and Lois.
Oh yeah, the new thing. Yeah, that's where I recognize her from. Okay, because she was on a couple of the Supergirl crossovers. When
she was in Grimm. I didn't see that show, but she was Juliet Silverton or Eve.
Grimm, R-I-M.
Grim.
Yeah, like Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Grim.
Like Grimm's Fairy Tales. That show. Grim.
Yes, like Grimm's Fairy Tales. That's it.
Okay.
What else?
I don't know. I'm just trying to remember whether I saw that show. I know that it exists. I just don't think I ever saw it. But she's Lois from the new current iteration of WB Lois. She was actually pretty good as that.
Yeah, I think looks like before that she was just in like bit parts. Like she was in one episode in The West Wing. Yeah, this is her first thing. Literally the first thing she did was this fucking documentary.
Well, I believe she was like a location scout or something for Lucasfilm.
I'm talking about acting, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's why she's in it is because most of the people in it, I think, are just
people who were
like crew, essentially. Yeah. Or like crew's family.
Hmm.
Well, props to her because she was selling the fuck. It almost made me believable she was fucking that.
Oh, yeah. Fun. Yeah, she was a location researcher on Attack of the Clones. Yeah. So it's probably that got her a fucking acting career. That's hilarious. Fucking, imagine. Yeah, now she's Lois Lane.
You could put her in it. She would have been one of the best people in it.
That's funny. That's like a hell of a fucking, like, origin story.
It's almost like Clayface.
All right, what else about this fucking thing?
It was great to see Carrie again. Like, honestly, I so miss seeing her do interviews of any sort, even play one like this. So it was just nice to see her again.
One of her books are coming up next on my pile.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I don't remember what I can't read it from here. Sorry, I'm actually reading.
That's boring. All right, well, I don't know what else to say about this fucking thing. Just go watch it. It's 20 minutes. You could watch it like and then like we've talked about it for like double the fucking time that
I liked it plenty.
Of the runtime. It's a silly thing. It's fun.
Really?
And it's even broken up into, I'd mentioned this already, but it's even broken up into three different fucking videos on the Star Wars YouTube if you want to just watch it in three sittings.
5 minutes of pop. If you take three shits in a 48-hour period, you can make it through.
Three shits. Why 48 hours? Like, that's very specific.
Well, I mean, if you're shitting three times in a day, you might have a problem.
Well, why 48 hours? Like, what if...
Within
you know,
a 48-hour period, Christ. you can at least take three shits in 48 hours.
Oh, you're saying you can watch it while...
Why not 72 hours?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it takes you that long to stir up a third turd, then fucking...
Third turd?
I'm just saying, that's three sittings on the can, 5 minutes pop.
Well, the third one's 10 minutes, so you're potentially, you know... straining things, you might get a fucking hemorrhoid if you watch that one.
Well, you shouldn't strain. Drop
third,
a dude,
third,
not,
phone
like,
home.
Third turd. Eddie Torres, the third turd.
Eddie Torres. E.T. the third turd.
Molarian turd.
Oh, God.
It always comes back to poop.
Why? Why does it have to? Why?
I don't know.
That's
you guys
why
have a...
That's why Rocky's so obsessed with poop. He grew up thinking that he was trying to get to turd base.
I love that band. Give you gas base.
Yeah. Turd base.
Why not make you top 10 pop head? I love third base too.
Yeah,
it's too bad you never get there, Mars. You're always holding hands. Is that first base?
No.
Well, what is going home with you know
it's
someone
actually going home? Well, I've held your hand long enough. I gotta go. I'm gonna take a shit and pass out.
You hold hands too long. You just have to leave and go home.
You really knocked something loose there, Tiger.
going home is like moving up the wrist like how they shake.
So until you get one of those fucking arm shakes.
Yeah, pins and needles.
If you get your thumb in the crux of her elbow, that's like fucking the G-spot.
You get a thumb like in the fucking armpit.
My whole upper body is pins and needles now. So.
Well, it's not funny. I don't mean to laugh.
Mars version of Cunnilingus is like the Ben Stiller licking fucking the armpit in that movie with the Arquette.
No mouth stuff. No kiss.
No mouth.
No licking.
No.
No lid.
Don't put your mouth stuff next to
I
my
love
butt
that.
Stuff.
I love that Journey song, Kissing and Licking.
Kissing and Licking.
Shit.
So we got
what the hell is the name of that song now? Fuck. Touching, squeezing, kissing,
licking.
Fuck. Drive me crazy.
Touching, squeezing. That's it.
Yeah, touching, squeezing is the.
Oh, loving, touching, squeezing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Loving, touching, licking.
Mars is holding, kissing, licking.
Oh, grubbing.
Rubbing. Tearing through the window.
Watching you.
Licking. Looking through the window, licking the window. Mars, are you a window licker?
Oh, my God.
My whole mall misses me. Probably nobody misses me more than Alberto.
Mars it's weird space. Working without, you know, feeling like I'm being watched all the time.
Watching me. I'll set up some security cameras.
Mars in space is like one of those wacky wall crawlers. You got to have a box of cereal back in the day just oozing down the front.
Alberto is actually like, you know, like been getting work done and like he's not getting talked to anymore because he can actually work without feeling like someone's fucking
I'm not
creeping on him.
I don't care.
All right. No, I was trying to give you
out a year ago.
I was trying to pump you up a little bit.
Joke's on you. If things don't turn around for me, I'm going to go move into that little apartment that they built next to your store.
What?
Little apartment. Oh, the car dealership thing or whatever that is?
Well, there's not a car in there. It's just couches now.
Oh, they moved the cars out?
Cars out. They don't even have, like, they have, like, two stores that sell Native American blankets and samurai swords. It's not cars in that mall.
Is that the same store?
They sell wrapping papers, so. Rolling papers rather than wrapping paper.
Rolling paper. Rolling papers and
Rocky
wrapping
paper. Uses rolling paper. He uses wrapping paper for rolling
I've used Mormon Bible pages, but not wrapping paper.
I've used Bible pages.
That's sacrilegious.
That was
no, it's not. That's a real religion. Be sacrilegious.
Those were perfect back in the day for rolling, too. Like, if you didn't have papers, man, it was the same.
Parchment, man.
Aren't Mormons the people who have multiple wives?
Yes.
Seems like a lot of work.
That's polygamy. Well, thank you.
Mars, you got two hands.
If you know of. That fucker's had a third one fucking infused to his primordial tail that fell off when he was born.
Jesus. Primordial tail.
It's got a third hand on that little dog tail. Little dog
note. Yeah, because Rocky, the finger is, he's licking my asshole.
That was weird.
There's no mouth stuff, dude. Definitely no mouth to butt stuff either.
Never go mouth to air sharky.
No. Guzzling that like a Guinness down at God. The corner pub.
Oh, fuck.
Two podcasters, one shoe.
Call it Johnny Yummy Seed.
Temporary. All right, we got some voicemails.
We're definitely... we don't have any voicemails. We're definitely calling this episode Reginald Dillingham and the Stunt Stooges.
Yep. All right, what's this news you were bragging about at the beginning of the show?
You didn't hear the news? So, before we move on, does anyone else have anything to say about this Beneath the Dome?
No, it was great. Thank you, Alberto.
You're welcome.
One opportunity missed is his big shiny metal dome was perfectly mirrored enough to where Kerry could have done some coke off the top of his fucking dome.
Not that off the dome, off shot. His fucking...
Dataport.
Yeah.
Well, that too, if it's as shiny as his head.
It would have been fun to see like other like cartoon villains like Destro and like Cobra Commander like doing coke off of his data port.
You should have showed him selling fucking bad junk to R5, and that's why his motivator blew in. R5 died of a fucking
drug overdose. if he was selling like oregano to R5.
This shit'll fuck you up, man. Be careful.
I know Cobra Commander doesn't, no. But does Destro have open nostrils?
I don't know.
He still breathes, so he would have to.
He could have some contraption.
He doesn't sound like Vader or anything when he talks, so I assume there's no oxygen. Deficiency.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they've ever shown up his nose, so I don't know.
But I just always want Baroness to slap me with a ruler on the ass.
With a ruler, yeah. You could have just stopped it. I want Baroness to slap me. That I believe coming from you.
It buys into the whole dangerous librarian shtick if she's got a ruler.
Dangerous librarian. Mars, that's awfully close to your fantasy.
Yep, are they just going around measuring things?
Yep, <nub.
laughs> Is this now officially turned into a measuring contest?
I think so.
Everybody get out your slide rule.
God.
Are we going by length or girth?
The Dewey Decimal System is 12 inches.
Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System? Come on, anyone? Conan the Librarian? Mars knew it.
If maybe Scooby-Doo is more responsible, but like G.I. Joe definitely cemented my taste in women.
Yeah, I can kind of see that, because you had both sides of the dice, both sides of the coin with Daphne and Velma.
Well, there was, yeah. But there was also, in G.I. Joe, I don't know.
Well, it was also this Mars.
Open and close your legs like a scissor. Keep up a steady rhythm. Now cup your hands downward and move them in a figure eight motion.
Motion.
Wow.
I just watched the short documentary about those, and Hasbro sued that guy.
Well, they sued Torpedo?
Torpedo!
Torpedo! All right. Well, I guess that's it. Next week, we're going to sort of let things play out and see if we get anything about any. I know we're not getting any live action stuff anytime soon. We still haven't seen any trailers, but hoping that we have some news soon, and you guys have an opportunity to let us know what you'd like us to do. So any listeners out there, feel free to send us hold on, let me just finish the promo. Feel free to send a email or voicemail, forceinsensitive@gmail.com. Let us know what you'd like us to do. Next week we're going to do a discussion episode. And we don't have a topic unless one of you guys thought of one.
As opposed to the on-brand concise topic we stayed on today.
Yes. It will be a discussion show that will center around a specific topic that will deviate about 40 times, most likely. So go ahead, Rock. Unless you forgot.
No, I've got a coughing thing. Hang on a sec.
All right.
Okay. Can we do an episode about Kamala San Booty Girl?
Go ahead, Rock.
I was going to say, in sort of the same vein of what Alberto just did with the short one this week, I had an idea for another short one we can cover that I bet you we haven't thought about or watched in decades. Hardware Wars. Remember the little short that came on HBO back in the day? It was a remaking of A New Hope, but instead of ships, they were using like fucking blenders and.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that eventually. I think we'll hold off until we do like viewing things again.
No, I'm just saying down the line.
Yeah, down the line for sure.
It's another short one to kind of put on a list as a.
Oh no, we're on a list already.
From the RCMP.
So. Was that a yes for Kamala's song?
No.
Kamala's songs are so good, though. Especially Booty Girl.
Especially, yes.
Which is coincidentally about his granddaughter.
So, oh, man. What? That's fucked up.
So Kamala the Ugandan Giant had a second career of singing these songs. That was just him talking and then singing, "It's my booty girl."
So like William Shatner's spoken word record?
I assure you, if you go on YouTube and look up Kamala Sings, you would have never heard anything like it.
Help me! Somebody
the bear.
Since we're talking about Mars's bizarre playlist selection.
Keep cool! Use your head! Don't lose it!
Over the holidays, and we were listening to your playlist that you made, Mars. We're driving along on the north end of Toronto, and that fucking pickle song came on.
No, it was about corn.
Corn, thank you, corn. That wasn't pickles. Yes, the corn
the
song.
Top of the meme pops.
That's Alberto's corn. Favorite band. Like, oh, second favorite, Limp Bizkit's number one.
Like a Freak on a Leash or.
Go ahead. You're talking about corn. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that corn song came up. So, in light of his other weird musical selection just now, I was like, well, the corn song got us through a fucked up area of Toronto going, what the fuck is this? And my wife just kept saying, how is this a holiday thing? I'm like, maybe he eats lots of corn over the holidays. I don't know.
If you had guys had read the thing of the song, said that it was a holiday 80s spooky and my year-end rap. And apparently I listened to that corn novelty song a lot.
I had never heard it before, and then my wife discovered that it was an internet fad there for a while and something with several different iterations of that tune. But the version you actually had on there was like entertaining and odd, which is what I like. So I was enjoying it, but it just was so weird in the mix of everything else that was around it.
Corn, a big lump of nut, it has the juice.
Oh, it's the fucking Songify thing?
This? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So not ads.
Yes, ads.
Is this it?
For me, I really like corn.
What do you like about corn?
It's corn. A big lump of nuts.
That one?
Yeah.
I think we played this on the show before.
Is that from like 2 years ago?
Maybe three.
It's August 28th, 2022. So just over a year. In the internet time, it seems like fucking decades.
I used to play it in the store like crazy, so that's probably why it came up on my rap. I hope you have a corn-tastic day. What? Just a pun about corn.
That kid loves corn. I wish I loved doing this podcast the way that kid loves corn.
I wish I loved anything about that kid. I'll tell you what, like, my niece and nephew were here and that song came on shuffle and like they acted like that was the oldest moldy shit ever.
Like it's like fucking Cab Calloway.
Yeah, like that song's from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I love it. Cab Calloway.
Hurry up and die.
Let's do some news then. So next week we'll do discussion show. If you guys have anything in particular you'd like to ask us, questions, you know, what our favorite things are, if we had to make a choice, if whatever, you guys leave it up to you, and then we'll come up with some topics as well during the week, and maybe about one of you guys will post them on social media, because I can't be fucked.
Favorite point of all
time. Can't be fucked? Yeah, I've heard that about you.
You've never heard someone say, I can't be fucked?
You can't
be I can't fucked, be bothered. Can't be bothered.
Okay, I can't be bothered, I've heard. Can't be fucked, I've never heard.
Yeah, it's I think it's British or Australian. I'm not sure. I had a buddy of mine who lived, he was Australian and then lived in the UK for a while and used to say it all the time.
Yeah, I don't speak to as many Aussies, but I speak to a lot of British folk. So that's not
just say that to him next time.
Yeah.
Can't be fucked.
I'm actually supposed to talk to him on Sunday, so you know who I'm talking about, guy.
Yep.
We tried every month and a half. Catch up.
Nice.
But yeah, well, I've Rocky never.
I hope he doesn't listen to this show.
That's a good question. I don't know if he does or he doesn't.
I hope not.
He knows that I do it, but I've never heard him mention it otherwise. So.
Good. Probably don't say anything.
He's a very busy guy as a government official.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, definitely, because he'll end up on a list or something.
Yeah. No, guy's a good dude, man. He actually sent me every year, him and his wife send us, even though we don't have a Christmas tree, he always sends us some collectible Christmas ornament as a Christmas nice. Gift. And this year he sent
That's real
me,
nice.
Yeah, this year he sent me Boba Fett on the back of the Rancor.
Wow, that's right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'll take a picture and show you guys. Yeah, no, guy's good shit. He's a good dude.
Yep. All right, let's take a look at some nudes. I mean, news.
Dude? Yeah, look at some nudes.
So, Shauna Turpich lands two posthumous costume designer guild nominations for The Mandalorian and Ahsoka. She had passed away a few months ago, but did some great work with the costume designing on the Star Wars shows. Right.
Mando.
Yeah, definitely. All right, what else we got here for news? The Mandalorian Season 3 wins Outstanding Stunt Performance Emmy. Not all that surprising. And there's a rumor that Tales of the Jedi may receive spinoffs about the Sith and bounty hunters. So it could be like Tales of the Bounty Hunters or Tales of the Sith.
I'm in for that. I've been enjoying Tales of the Jedi.
See, it says, during a discussion about the first season of the show on the Star Wars Sessions podcast, the hosts of the program indicated that they've heard their listeners should anticipate additional follow-ups to Tales of the Jedi that fall outside of the existing Jedi-focused format. It says, it's hard to come out and confirm stuff and things, but I think we're going to be seeing more Tales of projects. So I don't think that's ending anytime soon. So nice. just kind of rumors based on someone saying that there will be more.
Watching those is a lot like revisiting the Clone Wars universe from time to time in little short snippets. So that could be a lot of fun. Because I do enjoy Tales of the Jedi. That Count Dooku, Ahsoka parodying they were doing in that last season we watched was really fucking good.
So yeah.
I would really like to see some. I'd like to see some Bosk history, some Dengar history, some, you know. I would adore seeing early days of fucking Greedo. How dope would that be?
Whoa! The early days of fucking Greedo.
Well, no, Rocky does have a soft spot for Rodian, yeah. So.
Well, we'll surely find out who's shot first.
Can they shoot at the same time?
But no, it's new stuff.
Oh, well, when you get all hot and bothered and Greedo has you going, you'll do snoot stuff. I believe you will.
Snoot cocky.
Snoot cocky.
Jesus.
Snoot cocky. Oh, shit.
Jesus.
That's a different kind of snoot flute, Ryan.
Oh my god!
Mm. If it has snot dribbling out of it like that lizard's mouth in Flash Gordon last
week. Nub.
How do you know when a Rodian's full?
Oh god, I don't know.
I got a runny snoot.
Oh boy,
Misa thinks that's dirty.
All right, what else we got here for news? This is the big news here. That breaking news.
From yesterday.
Yeah, from yesterday. The Mandalorian and Grogu movie to go into production in 2024. And also sort of like as a side note, they said that Ahsoka Season 2 is in production. So...
literally a footnote at the end of the announcement.
Yeah, I know.
By the way.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah. Honestly, that should have had its own fucking press release that we're getting a season two.
I'm more excited for that.
Me too.
Yeah, I might be as well. So,
I mean, if they're going to truly give us a finality to Grogu and Din.
Well, we had finality.
In a way, yeah.
Because they sort of like hinted at some of the articles I've seen anyways. It's sort of like they hinted at like, oh, well, we told our story. So now, you know, the show sort of has ended for now. I mean, I'm sure it could always come back as a streaming show. But so this is my question to you guys is, so we haven't had a Star Wars movie since, was it 2019? 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that time, in the last 4 years, we've had Star Wars live action on streaming. What do you guys think about a streaming show making the jump to being a film? Does that feel weird? Is it fine to do that? Like, I'm just curious what you guys think about that.
I think it's a good idea, but everything is so far away right now that it's like just hard to get excited about like anything. Like even the, like on the flip side of the coin, even the DC stuff, like it'll be almost 5 years in between Peacemaker seasons if they, you know, stay on the schedule they're claiming they're going to be on.
Right.
And like, look at how long of it and like.
Yeah.
And to be honest, other TV shows have had movies too. I mean, most notably and recently was, you know, in order to finish out the Firefly series, they did the movie.
Well, it's fair, but that, I mean, that's, I was going to say, it's not recent though.
They technically
and it was a different time.
Yeah, I mean, they technically did a continuation of Sopranos in a way with the Kings of Newark. Like, so there are some TV shows that have made a jump.
Yeah, but it's
I walk with me, but
with how like how expensive TV shows are now and like how good they look, I don't think it's like a
necessary.
Such like a weird thing like at this point.
Well, I agree with that in terms of production value. Like, I don't think that's weird. I think the big thing for me that is kind of weird is that we've seen them on the small screen, like, you know, streaming in a serialized show, and to all of a sudden go from that to a self-contained, well, it could be a multi-part story, but a mostly self-contained movie, it's going to have to be done differently. They're going to have to cut out a lot of stuff that they might keep in an episode. So to me, the feel of it is going to be different. It's just going to feel different because it's not going to have as much time to breathe.
Let me ask you this. What if they jump timelines? Like, what if they go, the movie is actually a story for them, where they quote unquote went into retirement at the end of the series, and then they're going to fast forward like 10, 20 years.
I don't like that. Show
you where Grogu I don't like goes. It either. I mean, take how long a season of Mandalorian actually is if you laid it like back to back, because some of those episodes are pretty short.
It's like six hours maybe, like if you cut out credits and whatnot. Right. So it's like basically it turns out to be like three movies. But if they were actually movies, they'd cut a lot of the fat, so to speak. And I don't mean that as a bad thing. I don't mean that as a negative. But if you're making a movie, you're going to cut out a lot of the stuff that's in the shows, because you know you have people's attention for 90 to, you know, to 120 minutes ish, you know.
Well, weren't we complaining with all these shows that there was too much fat on the bone?
I don't think we ever complained. I mean, I don't remember that being a narrative. That
there was a lot more what seemed like filler in season three than there had been the two previous, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with that. I think the thing is, like, when we first started talking about Ahsoka, I think the first couple episodes, I think we were talking about, you know, there's some scenes that were really long. Like, they weren't bad, but it was weird to let these scenes play out. Like, I want to say there is that scene where Ahsoka and Sabine were on Ahsoka's ship and they were just talking like at that table. And I feel like it went on for like 7 minutes or something, you know, like in a movie that never would happen.
When Ahsoka was in the chamber getting the map.
That too. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a great scene.
Like, I also feel like you're going to have, I think this film, I have the feeling this film is going to close out the quote unquote Mandoverse. So this,
but it's not, because that's going to be Dave Filoni, and he's not closing it out. But Dave Filoni is going to do the culmination storyline, you know, of the Mandoverse. So this isn't even that.
Right. Because if rumors are correct, the, you know, skeleton crew might tie into this as well. And it hasn't even dropped yet. So.
Right.
We don't
know. Well, how far away are we going to get this freaking Grogu and Mando movie?
Well, if they're going to start doing it this year, then we won't see it till 2026, probably.
Yeah. So.
Maybe end of 2025 if we're lucky.
I thought they said 2025.
Yeah. Well, they'd have to really push through then. It would probably be mostly filmed in the volume then, or stagecraft, whatever. And, you know, probably do some on location stuff, because I imagine that's where the complexity in schedule right. comes up, is when they start doing some location stuff, you know, right. and building out sets and all that.
Oh, is this in your news feed too, real quick? Because I was just reading this today. There's a reboot of something that's coming out that's being helped by Andor.
I don't know.
It was a blurb I read real quick, but some new science fiction thing is happening, and the writing crew from Andor is working on it. Shit. Can't find it again either. Oh well, I thought maybe it was going to be in your news feed.
I don't. I haven't got through all of it yet, but I don't remember seeing that. Yeah. So just to finish up this, John Favreau says, "I've loved telling stories set in the rich world that George Lucas created. The prospect of bringing the Mandalorian and his apprentice Grogu to the big screen is extremely exciting." And then Kathleen Kennedy added, John Favreau and Dave Filoni have ushered into Star Wars two new and beloved characters, and this new story is a perfect fit for the big screen. And
my only problem is time and money to be able to get to a theater now is not easy. So,
well, for an event thing like this, like Star Wars, like I feel like, I don't know. I feel like that's a different thing than just going to a theater to check out a movie on like a fucking Saturday matinee or something. Like, I feel like this is like, you make time to go see a Star Wars movie. You make plans, you get tickets in advance, you know.
Who knows what theaters will even look like in 2025.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't say coming out to theaters, did they? They just said it was a movie.
Yeah.
Well, no, theaters.
Fuck them.
Because it says big screen. Like, that's what the quote I just read said. John Favreau says, bringing Mando and Grogu to the big screen.
It's true.
I wonder if it'd be a simultaneous thing or delayed by 2 weeks, but it'll show up on streaming or something.
I doubt that. They're going to milk this for all it's worth. It'll be
9 million years to get on.
If they're going theater, it's going to be in theaters for a good 2 months or something, and then like, even then it probably will be like 4 months before it's streaming.
Look at Indiana Jones. I think bombed at the box office, and it still took like 6 months for them to put it on streaming.
Yeah,
here's the thing though, that last one wasn't terrible. Like, I don't like Crystal Skull very much at all, but the last one at least seems like it could have fit with the other ones more, so I actually didn't
it's
mind
funny
that.
I think that I don't think it looked like an Indiana Jones movie at all.
Really?
I didn't know. Yeah, there was all these like moving liberated camera stuff that you like, there's just too much prestidigitation.
Yep, not
the same kind.
Stay on target.
Yep. Yup Nup on prestidigitation. So it's funny that that's the word that triggered her. Yup Nup, prestidigitation. Nope, I've had enough. I will not talk about that.
It's too much like penis. He's going to make my penis disappear.
We've gone on three Stooges tangents. We've gone on TV Cooper's tangents. I don't need an Indiana Jones tangent.
This is the other thing I want to bring up is that, so no release date has been announced, but Lucasfilm is saying that this will be the first feature film out of the gate ahead of the upcoming Daisy Ridley-led movie from director Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy, which was at one point confirmed to be the first one of this new wave. Like, I feel like we can't believe anything that they say at this point, because it's like, oh, well, no, this is going to be the first. No. Now this is going to be the first.
I only think that this one's probably going to actually happen and happen soon, because it's just kind of a proven, part of Star Wars at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
And it wants to try to get butts back into theaters.
The thing I wonder, and that's a good point. And if anything is going to get people in theaters, it's probably going to be this, and it's probably a good way to do it. But the thing I don't, that's sort of an unknown is, what if people are like, oh, there's a Mandalorian movie on the big screen? Oh, I'll just wait till it hits Disney Plus, thinking it'll be on Disney Plus, and they won't go see it.
That's happening regardless to anything right now. I mean, I'm doing it now because I just can't afford and or get time to go to a theater.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons that people aren't going to theaters, but I think that of all the safe bets that Disney Fox umbrella has, with the Marvel movies tanking out and a lot of Fox properties not doing as good, this is a very safe.
Well, I wonder if part of it is they're seeing what's going on with Marvel. And I think the problem with Marvel is the fact that all the movies that are coming out now are just characters nobody gives a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
And with the characters you didn't give a shit about, at least you had core characters that would probably show up that you'd care about. And right now it's just no one really cares.
I'll agree.
All waiting for X-Men at this point.
Yeah, because Marvel's at this weird point where they've kind of I guess in a way phased out the core stars that brought everyone to the theater, right? No Iron Man, I guess there's going to be another Thor movie, but I mean, still, now they're bringing in, like Captain Marvel and... I don't even know what other fucking movies have come out recently. I'm completely...
Shang-Chi and the Marvels.
That one did well, though.
The Eternals. Shang-Chi was good. I enjoyed that one. But, and Ant-Man, the last Ant-Man movie didn't hit people right. And it's just, they're pulling from a little down further, and they don't quite have the big stars that everybody felt was their comfort food, like Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and fucking... all the, Scarlett Johansson and stuff like that. So, everybody that... bought into the universe with that original Infinity saga, they're having a hard time keeping us. People still want to go and see the fun that was that team being put together over the course of the movies.
I mean, I think that's what people are saying, but I don't know how jacked I would be about Iron Man 5 or 4 or whatever. You know what I mean? I think it's...
No, but as a continuing Avengers thing, it would be nice to, once every couple of years when they do the Avengers thing to see Stark show up,
Did Guardians 3 do well?
Yes.
Because that dropped this year in May. I don't really count Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse because that's not Marvel.
Yes.
And that's pretty well-renowned... film that people are really excited to see. The Marvels kind of flopped, I think, and that dropped in November.
Yep.
And then, so that was it. I mean, there was only three Marvel movies, and the first one was Quantumania.
Wakanda Forever didn't quite do as much after the fact. Like, initial weekend, it did big, and then it rolled off pretty quick.
Yeah.
Oh, when you lose your lead.
Right.
Yeah, that was
the replacement lead is played by a fucking wacko. that no one likes.
Yeah. So when you think of it,
it was a poor story too. Like, I mean, they lingered on shit they didn't need to linger on, and they rested too hard on Bozeman to still make that movie limp along instead of giving it its own merit. And I felt like they went too hard trying to keep Bozeman alive in people's mind through the course of the story so that they would accept it. And then by doing that, it actually kind of ruined it. At least for me, it was kind of like, okay, well, if you're going to give me new characters, let's involve ourselves with the new characters.
Mm-hmm. Who played MODOK in Quantumania? I'm just looking through pictures and I see MODOK.
Yeah,
that's funny.
He played Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, Yellow Jacket.
It looks like they just... I mean, I'm just looking at one picture, like one static picture, so I don't know how it looked like moving, but like it looks kind of bad in this one picture I'm looking at.
Oh, no, it's horrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was actually the funny part to it, because it's like, did they intentionally make this look so goofy, or?
I mean, it's supposed to be goofy, so I part of me feels like it was intentional, but.
And now, yeah, like the whole Kang thing's fucked now, because Jonathan Majors, like they can't use him.
But to be fair, if you watch Loki season 2, they kind of brought it to an end point. So if they needed to step away from Kang, they could, because Loki takes it to a point where it could stop. So,
well, they have to.
So I don't think it was intentional that they were going to continue, but it does get to a logical stop point there. So problem is too, is like with the Ant-Man Quantumania thing, the first two Ant-Man movies, which I liked for a character I never gave two shits about, it's fucking, you know, Paul Rudd was selling the fuck out of this guy as the fucking, you know, reformed criminal thing. And the first two movies with his crew and stuff, it all worked because you were with Scott, and this is who Scott is, and this is how Scott's going to solve the problem, you know? And the third one just was nothing about that. Like, there was, like, they took away any gravitas from, you know, Paul Rudd's performance being Scott and tried to turn him into something that really didn't suit how they played the character at that point. So it really just all fell apart on the fact that your lead character wasn't bringing to the table those things. Outside of the first opening 10 minutes of it, it just didn't feel as fun as the other two.
I just feel like when people rate any of those Marvel movies on, like, on the fact that they weren't as good as other ones, like, I wonder what Marvel movies they saw outside of ones that were directed by James Gunn or Captain America Civil War, because I like them.
I don't like I said, the whole point of this tangent was I don't necessarily think it's because the movies are bad. I think it's just people don't care about the characters, and putting Marvel on something doesn't seem to matter anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So I think they're realizing just putting Star Wars on something isn't going to get people to the theater.
Right.
You know, short of bringing back the original trilogy characters and, you know, fucking deep faked.
Yeah.
This is the best they're going to do.
For Solo?
What was that, Mars?
Did any of those last ones do bad except for Solo?
Solo didn't do bad. It just didn't do Star Wars money, you know? Let me see how it did. I forget now, actually.
Fandom is a mistake.
So Solo, box office, I don't know if this is international or not, but $393.2 million, but the budget was like close to 300, so if that's the case, then they barely broke even.
There's extenuating circumstances between that money pile up with the debacle of the original makers and shit like that, and having to get new people to come in and do shit. So there are extenuating circumstances to that imbalance of cost versus recoup. But yeah, still not by the numbers of other Star Wars flicks.
Well, and it was 6 months after Last Jedi. And
right.
I think if people weren't sick of Star Wars, they're sick of people complaining about Star Wars at that point. So.
Yeah. Both those, I guess you would say, Disney Plus tentpole franchise things or Disney, Star Wars, whatever you want to call them as an organization, like, have been so, like, politicized, too. Like, it's just, like, it's polarizing before you even see the first trailer.
So, let me just see here. So, the last Star Wars movie that came out, though, was Rise of Skywalker. And, I mean, that one did over a billion, so... Let's see.
Makes sense. I mean,
I'm just looking to see if I can find a list of all of the Star Wars movies. I'm guessing Solo is by far the worst one.
But that being said, man, Solo is one of those flicks that, aside from that one spot, still gets great every time I rewatch it. So I find myself rewatching that more than I would have thought I would,
because it's so. Yeah, here's the most, the biggest box office Star Wars film was The Force Awakens. It did over $2 billion. That's insane.
Not really, if you think about how many fans there are out there.
I saw it multiple times in theaters. So.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. I did too, yeah.
I don't do that often.
And then Last Jedi, was next with 1.3 billion, and then Rise of Skywalker was just over a billion. So, I mean, but that kind of makes sense, you know, like as the films sort of go on, like they do like a little less. And then Rogue One was just over a billion. It made just under Rise of Skywalker money. And then Phantom Menace did over a billion. That was fucking 25 years ago now, so that's, I mean, that was huge, you know, for the time.
It's hard to think 1999 was 25 years ago, but you know what? Yeah. It just popped up on my radar that I watched the other night around 2 in the morning. There's a documentary on the Y2K bug thing, and yeah. Looking back on that, dude, it was like, oh, people were still just as crazy back then, because you saw some people fucking going berserk thinking shit was going to come to a diabolical end on planet Earth, man. It's just like, people have always been nuts, man.
I don't, no one actually with a brain thought that.
Right, but still, when you go back and watch the old footage, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I do remember fucking seeing motherfuckers freaking out. About, I had fuckers in my apartment complex who were doomsday prepping for that shit for like a year and a half.
And we're going to do it all over again in a couple of years.
You know, so you know what's interesting about the prequels, same deal. Like the first one did the best, Phantom Menace, and then Attack of the Clones actually was the worst performing of the prequel. So it's not 1, 2, 3. In this case, it'd be 1, 3, 2. And Revenge of the Sith did 848 million, and then Attack of the Clones did 656. So it's pretty substantial. It basically did like a little more than half of Phantom Menace. That's a pretty big drop off. And then A New Hope did 775 million. I don't know if that's in its original theatrical run or if it includes any re-releases or anything. So it's hard to tell. But yeah, so Clone Wars is technically the lowest grossing movie, but that's hardly can consider that, you know, like the same as the others. So,
did that wrong.
Yeah. Return of the Jedi made 482 million. Which, once again, if you think about, you know, when it was released and all that stuff and re-releases, I don't know how it factors in, but Solo was 393 million. So it's by far the lowest. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Also in this article, it says at present, a fourth season of Mandalorian is also in development. In addition to the movie, though their language use makes it sound like that's subject to change. Because it says at present. But I think that they are just, I think they're just turning the fourth season into a film. Maybe they're going to tie them together, but that seems weird to do, because then what's the, you know, what's the motivation to go to the theater if, you know, part of this story is going to be told on the small screen, you know?
Right. Well, we'll see.
What I think it honestly is it might be some sort of like team up movie or something that ties like Ahsoka and Mando together. And
yep.
And Bo-Katan and the Rise of the New Mandalore.
Yeah, because I mean, Mando season 4 might also be Bo-Katan or Sabine or something. So
that's true. It could be kind of a side story because it's, yeah. I mean, the Mandalorian could be anyone, you know. So,
yeah, they could kind of turn it into a like a season by season. They just pick a different character.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's the ambiguity of the title. You know, the Mandalorian technically doesn't have to be Din Djarin, doesn't have to be Bo-Katan, doesn't have to be Sabine.
So,
it could be a new guy.
Yeah, could be David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, not D.B. Cooper, talked about their canceled Star Wars film. And apparently their pitch got rejected by Lucasfilm. And it's a speculation at the time was that their movie was linked to either the High Republic or the Old Republic. But it turns out they actually wanted to go back even further, calling their planned movie The First Jedi.
Well, maybe Netflix will give them some money to do that in a director's cut of their version right next to Zack Snyder's failed
version. They'll call it The Full Moon. Just them fucking pulling their pants down and, yeah, fucking moon and everyone.
Deep fake moon.
Says he said, we wanted to do The First Jedi, basically how the Jedi Order came to be, why it came to be, the first lightsaber. Lucasfilm ended up not wanting to do a First Jedi story. We had a very specific story idea in mind, and ultimately they decided they didn't want to do that. And we totally get it. It's their company and their IP, but we weren't the droids they were looking for. But the funny thing is now they're doing the fucking, basically the Dawn of the Jedi now, so seems a little weird.
Yeah.
They turned it down then, but now I want to do it.
Well, things change too. We also have to keep in mind that it's been under a year since Filoni has been put into his position officially, so that might also be why things have slowed down, because if he truly is trying to get things on some form of continuity page, then, you know, plus with everything that's happening at Marvel, with the way things are fluctuating too, they're probably trying to decide the best way to roll this shit out, right?
Yep. And did you guys happen to see the little piece of art that Filoni did for Ahsoka 2?
The Rule 34 one?
No. I mean, maybe he did some of that. I don't know. But
I imagine Filoni started that. If you look at who started that, it's Filoni. Probably.
It was actually, so it was messaged today. I think it was, it's a tweet. I'm not calling it the other fucking name. It's a tweet from Star Wars. And it says, the story continues, Ahsoka Season 2 now in development with Dave Filoni. And it has the art, concept art, is from Dave Filoni. And it is the father statue that we ended on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got two characters standing on, like, the finger that's pointing. I can't tell who it is. It looks like maybe Baylan and... maybe it is Sabine. So.
Do you think he did that at craft time at the home?
You know, you're wanting to be talking about somebody being old and decrepit.
Yeah, didn't you fall and hurt your hip today?
Can't get up. Yeah. Do you have a Med Alert bracelet? Should we get you on next Christmas?
Yes. I think it's adorable that you think I'm going to be around next Christmas.
You've been saying it for 4 years. I don't believe you anymore.
4 years ago, I could feel the right side of my body.
I'll try feeling the wrong side of your body.
That side just burns.
It burns.
It only burns when I live.
Why does it hurt when I pee?
Jesus.
Does it hurt when you pee?
No. But come on, you guys don't know Joe's Garage, one of the greatest albums of the 80s?
Long time ago. I haven't listened to Joe's Garage in a very long time. My sister had that album, which is where I heard it, I think, first.
Good one.
That's all I got for news.
All right, let's go to bed.
I'm not going to bed with you.
Yeah, all together?
I don't sleep in a bed. So
Yeah, the fucking three stunt fucking stooges.
The four of us.
The four of us, yeah.
Oh, God.
And one rolled over and one fell out.
And fucking Mars is going to motorboat Alberto's taint.
No, it's going to be like that episode of Always Sunny. It's a hoop of the bed.
You know, I think I'm going to have to dive back into some Always Sunny rewatches.
You know, it's funny. I never watched it. And,
oh, God. It's so
good. Well, I tried to, you know, I tend to go back and watch some older shows. That one, I mean, I can forgive some stuff, but there's some stuff on there that definitely, like, they wouldn't do now.
Oh, no, they still do it.
Oh, yeah, they do? Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. There,
blackface.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
What else? There was a whole episode a couple seasons ago where they essentially wake up and they're all in black people's bodies. And they
have
to live that life for a day.
Wow.
I watched.
It works because the main characters are awful people and nothing good happens to them, and you don't root for them.
But that's the thing.
There's
like,
no redeeming quality to them at all.
That was the thing. I agree. Like they're terrible. But like I just want like there's in no way do I want to root for them. You know, like it's just like,
and you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
All right, maybe I just don't get it.
Maybe Charlie.
I didn't like that show. I didn't like Seinfeld. Everybody can come kiss my.
I mean, hey.
Hey, Alberto, fuck it. Who are the brothers that always drink milk, dude? Because I have never in my life felt disgusted by somebody drinking milk except for these guys.
The Ponderosas.
Yes, because that summer when the air conditioning was out, they would just show up and be drinking hot milk and shit. Like, just watching it, I'm like, I'm going to puke right now.
Were they
keep on calling it mother's milk, and you find out that that's just what they call the cow.
Yes.
Hot ganibganabs.
Dude,
there's an episode where they like they're all at a wedding and they spike the
punch
the milk punch bowl with like what was it, bath salts or something?
Yes. The episode where they were fucking trying to fucking tailgate at the Eagles fucking game. Danny DeVito is fucking the shit, man, in that show. You know what it is? Danny DeVito played a shitty character in Taxi, you know, and he's basically taken that Taxi character and amped it up to fucking 100, man, and just made it so fucking bizarre and just deplorable.
Oh, man.
That fucking show, dude.
All right, we done. I don't think anyone's gonna ever call into the show again. So we don't have any voice messages.
Well, everyone's waiting for us to do more Star Wars movies. So
maybe if they like Danny DeVito.
Was Danny DeVito in a Star Wars movie? Star Wars adjacent film?
I don't think so.
That's no, but his wife,
Rhea Perlman, fucking the Trandoshan.
Yep.
In Bad Batch.
Yep.
We should do the animated Transformers movie. That's what we should do.
The one from the 80s?
Mm-hmm. It's a very uplifting movie.
Yep.
Never been a Transformers guy.
So. You know, it's funny you say that, Mars. MZ said, you guys should do Transformers.
Yeah, that's right, he did.
And I was like, that's weird, really? Like, I haven't seen it like since literally the 80s, so... I don't really remember much. He's like, yeah, it's basically a Star Wars movie.
Oh my God,
and it happens in space.
Space.
Spies.
It's got Orson Welles. We talked about him last week.
There is a change in power. Like a somebody continues on for somebody.
Got Leonard Nimoy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. All right. Well, next week we're going to do a discussion show. We'll come up with a theme or ideas. But if you have any, you can feel free to send them our way. ForceInsensitive@gmail.com. All right.
Top Kamala songs.
Top Kamala songs. Rock, you have a question?
I'm going to steal my question from Alberto. Why are we here?
Push it.
Why are we here?
Push it.
Please don't say that ever again.
Push it.
Speak into a Boba Fett action figure. Do you remember, like a potato gun.
Jesse, do you remember me and
who?
Me and Pez and Gabe's fake band, KG Pete's?
Yes.
And do you remember our version of the Salt and Pepper song?
I don't know.
Push ya hot. Push ya real good.
Were you doing a Hulk Hogan impersonation?
No.
That's what it sounds like.
My Hulk Hogan impersonation goes, I'm Hulk Hogan.
I like your Awesome Powers better.
Hey, Bobby.
It's the same thing.
Do I make you horny, Bobby?
Do your fucking John Wayne impression.
Oh, Pilgrim.
What?
I hate Indians. I'm a racist.
Whoa. All right, Brock, just ask a fucking question. Jesus Christ.
I already did. It was an existential one, and you guys don't agree. Okay, let's break this down. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting on new Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Frantically.
Yep.
So as we stir the pot of potential fucking rewatches of stuff and or the adjacent
and or yeah, that's good. I like that show.
Versus Jason.
What?
Andor versus Jason.
Yeah, you said Andor.
I know I just said and or, but you can say, when are we getting the next season of Andor? What the fuck's up with
like
that?
Like 5 years from now?
I don't know. I'm feeling sad and melancholy, and I just want to know, do you guys find that when you're feeling this down and when life's like numbing you, do you feel that things like slamming your dick in the sliding glass door helps or makes it worse?
Usually helps.
What the fuck? How would I even know that? Why would I even try that?
Yeah. I just need to feel something.
Oh, God.
I don't have a glass sliding door. Can I come over and try, Alberto?
No.
He's going to be.
Just fucking do it, Alberto.
Put his dick on the glass door like a wacky wall crawler, Alberto. Overnight. You're going to see him go fucking tip over nuts just rolling down the window.
Just say it. Just say it.
Overnut.
Yub nub.
That's what they call tip over nub.
Look at my sandworm, Albert.
Sandworm, you might need to moisturize it.
Yeah. He's a fucking moisturizer.
You can't wacky wall crawl if it's all sandy and ashy.
Yeah, Anakin. All right, that's going to do it. I hope you, I don't know. I don't know if anyone even made it to the end of this one. Well, I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. So, next
Mars
week.
Is making a Star Wars porn parody.
Next week. We have like 10 seconds. Next week, discussion. Let us know what you want us to do. We'll make some plans and figure it out. All right. Say bye, everyone.
Chapter. Ask them not. I don't care what it takes.